Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, chapter entitled The Description of Varnashram Dham, text number 33. Alabdva na visheteta kale kale shanam kvachit labdva na krishyet Duritiman Upayam Daivatantritam Alabdva na Visheta Kale Kale Shanam Kwachit Labdva na Hrishya Duritiman Ubiyam daiva tantritam Alabdva na visheta Kale kale shanam kochit Alabdva na hrishya dritiman Ubiyam daiva tantritam Alabdva, not obtaining. Na, not. Vishedeta,
he should be depressed.
Kale, kale, at different times. Oshanam, food. Kwachit, whatever. Alabdva, obtaining. Na, not. Krishyat, should rejoice. Ndrutiman, fixed in determination. Uvayam, both. Obtaining and not obtaining good food. Daiva, of the supreme power of God. Tamturitam, under the control. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. If at times one does not obtain proper food, one should not be depressed, and when one obtains sumptuous food, one should not rejoice. Being fixed in determination, one should understand both situations to be under the control of God. Translation responsibly. If at times one does not obtain proper food, one should not be depressed. And when one attains sumptuous food, one should not rejoice. Being fixed in determination, one should understand both. One should understand both situations to be under the control of God. Purport. Because we desire to enjoy the material body, the varieties of material experience bring us flickering happiness and inevitable suffering. We foolishly consider ourselves to be the controllers and doers, and thus, through false egotism, we are subjected to the volatile feelings of the material body and mind. Omagyan, Timanandasya, Ginonjana, Shalakaya, Chakshun Militam Yena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dati Swa Padantikam. Avancha Kalpat Rubyascha, Kripa Sindubi Evacha, Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Rasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in the beginning of the Nectar of Instruction, it's called Upadeshamrita. Upadesh means instructions, and Amrit means deathlessness, nectar, immortality. That which will give one deathlessness. The greatest fear in this material world is that people are going to die. People fear death more than any other experience. Especially in Western society, then people are very fearful of death. In Eastern society, people are less fearful of death because they have gyan, they have knowledge. They understand that death is not final. It is not the end of everything. Whereas in the Western culture, people, many times, they do not understand death. Therefore, they have a great fear of death. But either way, death is fearful for most people. That is the nature of the experience of leaving one's body. So Amrita means that which makes you deathless, which gives you the opportunity to not die, to live eternally, to be immortal. That is Amrit. Usually we say Amrita means nectar, something which will give you, has the potency to give you deathlessness, or which will make you immortal. Just like we say Charan Amrit. Every morning, after we greet the deities, then we take the Charan Amrit. And Charan means the lotus feet. Because when we bathe in the morning, when the puja is being done after Mangalati, until we greet the deities, at that time the pujaris, they bathe the Shalagram Shila. We see there are so many Shalagrams and Giriraj Shilas on the altar. So they are bathed. So the water which bathes them runs over them, bathes their body, water and other substances, other auspicious substances, and they are bathed, and then that runs over their body and then runs over their feet. So that charan, that bath water which has bathed the body and the feet of the Lord, it will give, if you take it, if you drink it after the Lord has been bathed and worship properly, then you will attain immortality, deathlessness. Charan Amrit. So therefore we take, after we greet the deities, then we take Charan Amrita. Most of the time we are not so conscious of what we are doing in devotional service. Just like we take the Charan Amrita and we think, oh, that tastes nice. It has some honey in it. So it is good taste. Good Charan Amrita today. We don't go past, most of the time, anamoy. Anamoy means, if I have something good to eat, then my life is happy. That is about where my consciousness ends. Basically, I just need a good meal. If I have a good meal, then that's it. That was a good day. Just like there was that one sage in the Vedic culture. What was his name? The one who said about ghee?
Chavat
Muni. So Chavat Muni, he says, beg, borrow or steal, but get ghee. That is the goal of life. Because if you have ghee, everything tastes good. In Melbourne Temple, we don't appreciate ghee so much because we live on it. It's practically all we eat, is ghee. Every meal is ghee, like that. But in Vedic times, it was not like that. It was not like there was just ghee pouring out everywhere. Like that, it was considered a speciality. It was considered a very opulent food. This shows how opulent this temple is. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by Radha Vallabha's mercy, the temple is so opulent. Practically everything is saturated in ghee. Now that is a sign of opulence. So, Chavat Muni, he says, beg, borrow or steal, but get ghee. That is the goal of life. That is it. You had a nice pakora for lunch. That is it. Life is perfect. Everything is perfect. We have ghee to cook with, then life is perfect. So this is a lower level of human consciousness. This is not considered very exalted consciousness like that. So quite often we take the Charanamrita, but when we're taking the Charanamrita, then we're just thinking like that. But actually, if our consciousness is a little elevated, if we're conscious of what we're doing in our devotional service, we understand that why we're taking the Charanamrita. We're taking that bath water, which has personally bathed the body of the Supreme Lord Himself. And by taking that bath water, then one does not see birth and death again. It is said in the Nectar of Devotion, one will not take birth again in this world when he takes Charanamrit. Amrit means deathlessness. It will make you immortal. So after class, you may be drinking a little bit more of that Charanamrita. Because now you understand it will make you immortal. It will give you an eternal spiritual body. Eventually it will. It will do that, like that. But you have to earn the right. Krishna consciousness is not automatic. You cannot think that I just will put on some tilak, put on a sari or a dhoti, and I will say Hari Bol and take some prasadam and chant some inattentive rounds in the courtyard, and I will go back to the spiritual world. It is not automatic. You have to be conscientious in your practice. Like that. Prabhupada says, in Nectar of Instruction, he says, spiritual advancement depends on the attitude of the performer. According to your attitude while you do your service, that is how much you advance. If your attitude is very slack or very casual, if you are not so serious in your devotional service, you will make progression, but you will not reach Goloka Vrindavan. You'll take birth again and you'll perform devotional service once again, but you won't go back to the spiritual world. You go back to the spiritual world when you become actually serious in Krishna consciousness. Tatra Lo Yam. That Rupa Goswami says one must develop Lo Yam. Lo Yam means Lopa. Lopa means greed. One must become greedy for advancement in Krishna consciousness. If you do not become greedy, you will not make it back to Goloka Vrindavan. You must pay the price. Rupa Goswami says the price is greed. One must become very intense in one's desire to obtain the lotus feet of Krishna, to obtain pure devotional service to Krishna. If you examine your consciousness at this point in time, what are you greedy for? Of course. Yeah, you're greedy for something which is just to do with your body, with your tongue. Just like one sannyasi, he was telling me that he took a vrat in Kartik, and his vrat was he would only eat dal and rice for the Kartik period. I mean, it's just khichdi, like that. So he took that vrat 30 days. And he said in the final days, he said that the desire to eat pizza was coming into his consciousness. And he described that when you leave this material world, then if you go back to Godhead, when the jiva goes back to Godhead, then he has to pass through all the planets, the different planetary systems, as you travel back to Godhead. And as you pass through those different planetary systems, then you get the opportunity to witness what is on offer in those different planetary systems on your way back to Godhead. And if you have any desire to enjoy anything in those places as you go past, then you have to stop and you have to remain in that place. So you go past Swargaloka and you see all the beautiful apsaras and you see all the beautiful facilities offered in the heavenly planets. If you have some attachment, then you take birth there. So you go through Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Satchaloka, go through Brahmaloka, past Lord Brahma's planet. Then you travel through the coverings of the universe. And you see earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego. And as you go through, then each of those coverings represents a particular sense. Just like you go through earth, that is the sense of smell. So all the most attractive smells in the material world are offered to you. All the most attractive aromas are offered to you. You pass through the earth element and you smell the most divine fragrances. You are tested whether or not you are still attractive. And then you go through water and then you experience taste, like that. So you go through and you get through all the different tastes. And this sannyasi was saying that as he he said that I would fail, because as I'm going through that particular element, traveling through water, all the tastes are offered to you, and then you, the topmost taste in the material world is offered to you, pizza. And then, okay, I'll stop. I'll stop and I'll have a margarita. I'll have a pizza. I'll stop. I'll come back to the spiritual world soon, but I'll just need a pizza. Yes. So we have to examine our consciousness. What is our consciousness absorbed in? What are we greedy for? If you're simply greedy to satisfy the senses, you cannot transcend the material world. Prabhupada says, as long as you are a Godas, you cannot become a Goswami. A Goswami means one who controls his senses. A Godas means one who is under the control of the senses. So you cannot transcend the material energy as long as you are under the control of the senses. You cannot go through the material elements and transcend the material world as long as you are controlled by the senses. As long as you are greedy to enjoy the objects of the material world. You have to develop an attachment, such a strong attachment to Krishna, such a transcendentally strong attachment to Krishna and his associates and his dharma and his paraphernalia and his pastimes and his form and his name and his qualities, that you become disinterested in the material world. That is how we transcend the material energy. So Rupa Goswami, he teaches that in the nectar of devotion, in the nectar of instruction, this is called Upadesh Amrita, instructions in immortality, how to become immortal. In those 11 verses, Rupa Goswami takes one from the very beginning of spiritual life to the topmost level of spiritual life in 11 verses. Upadesh, the nectar of instruction. This book can give you guidelines about how to go from the material world to the spiritual world in 11 verses. So the first three verses are instructions for the followers of Rupa Goswami on how to perform their bhajan. We are called Rupanuga Vaishnavas, which means we are followers of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is the principal follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did not write more than 8 verses, it is said. He left us the Shikshastika. 8 verses. In the Shikshastika, there is the entire philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right, is within those 8 verses. How to go from Shraddha, or the beginning of spiritual life, to Prema. Now, Mahaprabhu, he instructed Rupa and Sanatan and his other followers, the other Goswamis, to elaborate on his teachings, which are found in the Shikshastika. We read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Rupa Goswami, he met with Lord Chaitanya at Prayag, Allahabad, at the Dashwamedha Ghat. And for 10 days, Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami. 10 days. So he gave him so many instructions.
And Rupa Goswami, he was Shrutidhara. Shrutidhara means one who hears something once and he can remember it perfectly. So he heard from Lord Chaitanya for 10 days, and Lord Chaitanya said, you elaborate on it. You write it down. So then, based on these teachings that Rupa Goswami received from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he wrote his various books, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Nilamani, Upadeshamrita, various books, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, many books Rupa Goswami wrote. Now, the Upadeshamrita is the basic instructions in the first three verses, the basic instructions on how the followers of Rupa Goswami, who are called Rupanugas, how we should perform our bhajan. If you want to be successful in making advancement in Krishna consciousness, you must base your life on the first three verses of the Upadeshamrita. First verse speaks about the various what are they called? Urges, yeah. What do we call them in Sanskrit? Vegan. Vegan. Vacho vegan. Manasakroda vegan. Jiva vegan. Udarapasta vegan. Etan vegan. Yo vishahe tadira savam apimam pritivim sashishat. It describes that you must control, if you want to make advancement in spiritual life, and this is what the Bhagavatam is teaching here. All of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his followers are based upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like what is Krishna saying here to Uddhava? He's giving directions. And these directions are being summarized by Lord Chaitanya, or extracted by Lord Chaitanya from the Amala Purana, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then extracted by Lord Chaitanya's followers, Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis, and then put into the essential teachings of the Bhagavatam and put into their writings. So they say, Rupa Goswami says, if you want to make advancement in spiritual life, vacho vegan, first you must control your speech. Is that how spiritual life begins? You can't make advancement unless you control your speech. How much nonsense do you talk every day? What is the percentage? How much of your kata is relevant and beneficial for people in this world, and how much of it is in the trash basket? Vacho vegan. You have to learn to control your speech. People just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk all the time. But what is the relevance of what they are saying? Like that. So you have to see. If you can't control your tongue, if you can't control your speech, it'll be difficult for you to advance in Krishna consciousness. Because if you can't control your speech, your mind becomes contaminated. You see, Lord Chaitanya says to Raghunath Das Goswami, he says, do not speak like the people in general, and do not hear what they say. Because if you absorb your consciousness too much in gramya kata, if you speak gramya kata, material subject matter, and if you hear too much of it, then what will take place? Your mind becomes fickle, contaminated, disturbed, agitated. Right? Hard for you to meditate upon Krishna. Therefore it is said, control your tongue, first of all, your speech. Vacho vegan, manasa, krota vegan. Manasa means your mind. You have to learn to control your mind. What did Arjuna say to Krishna? Practically impossible. Control your mind, especially in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada says, that was back then. Arjuna said, difficult, Krishna. Not easy to control the mind. Not easy to stay awake in Bhagavatam class. He says, not easy, Krishna. But
it must be done.
We have to learn to control our mind. Urges of the mind, continuous. The mind is always... Mind is like a monkey sitting on your back. You know what it's like? No, you don't know what it's like, but imagine. Monkey is sitting on your back. Just... all the time. Just driving you. Right? This is what the mind is like. Do this, do that, go there, do this. Look at that, touch that, do this, taste that. What's it? This is the mind, continuously. Driving. Manasa, vegan. Mind has so many pushings. So then what does Rupa Goswami say? Always think of Krishna. Never forget Krishna. That's how you control the mind. Place the mind on Krishna. You have to learn to think of Krishna. Krishna or topics related to Krishna. Subjects related to Krishna. Services related to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada explained that when a devotee goes out on book distribution, he goes into book distribution, samadhi. Or whatever your service is. Crossways, samadhi. Or writing the shloka board, samadhi. Or worshipping the deities, samadhi. Or preaching program, samadhi. Or spiritual carnival, samadhi. Or whatever it is. So many services you can do for Krishna. But you absorb your consciousness, your mind, all of your energy goes into that service for Krishna. That's how you control your mind. Otherwise, the mind will be out of control. The mind will always think of this and think of that. It becomes very distracting. So Rupa Goswami says you must control the mind. Control your speech, control the mind. Krota. What does krota mean? Anger. Where does anger come from? What? Lust? Yeah, it comes from lust. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It comes from lust. Krishna says, what is that verse, third chapter? Yeah, that, no, not that one. Yeah, that's true. That's that verse. But that's second chapter. Third chapter. Yeah. Karma Asia. Karma. Lust. Asia. Krodha. Krodha Asia. Krodha means anger. Raja Guno Samud Baba. Born from passion. Mode of passion. Like that. So where is anger coming from? It is coming from frustrated desire, calm. Calm. Anger is called calm anuga. Just like we are called Rup Anuga. We are followers of Rupa Goswami. Krodha or anger is calm anuga. Wherever there is lust, wherever there is dissatisfied material desires, then there will come krodha, anger. He will follow. He's always there following. So this is where anger comes from. So then, Rupa Goswami or Prabhupada points out how to control anger. Then use it in Krishna's service. Use it in Krishna's service. Like that. Take birth in one of Krishna's pastimes, or Lord Ram's pastimes, and use your anger in the battle of Lanka. This is how Hanuman used his anger. When the battle began, Prabhupada said there were two great battles in history, Kurukshetra and the battle in Lanka. And these were the two great battles. And the heroes were Vaishnavas, and they were very angry. But this anger is pure, because that anger is used for the service of Krishna. Another nice story is given in the Mahabharata. One evening, Satyaki is the commander-in-chief of Krishna's army in Dwarka. He is the general of Krishna's army in Dwarka. He is Krishna's military guru. He taught Krishna how to fight like that. Not that Krishna did not know how to fight, but he plays that role where he shows Krishna military science, Dhanur Veda. So one night Satyaki, Balaram and Krishna were traveling, and then they stopped. You heard this one? They stopped in the middle of the night to camp. So then Satyaki said to Krishna and Balaram, said, "You take rest, and for the first 2 hours I will stay guard. I will protect the camp. And then after 2 hours, then Balaram can rest. And then final 2 hours, then Balaram can wake up. He can protect. And final 2 hours, then Krishna can wake up." So Satyaki was guarding, and Krishna and Balaram took rest. And then one big Rakshasa came, and he said, "I am going to eat you, and then I'm going to eat your friends." And Satyaki said, "You will try." So then a fight began between Satyaki and the Rakshasa. And the more that Satyaki fought with the Rakshasa, the more powerful the Rakshasa became. He became more and more powerful. So Satyaki became more and more ferocious in his fighting. He's fighting even more powerfully. But then the Rakshasa, he became more and more powerful, bigger and bigger and more stronger, and Satyaki could not defeat him. After 2 hours, Satyaki was exhausted and the Rakshasa disappeared. And then Balaram woke up, and Satyaki, he just fell asleep. So then Balaram was guarding, and then this Rakshasa appeared again. And then he came and he said, "I will eat you, and then I will eat your friends." And Balaram said, "No one will touch Krishna and Satyaki." So then the fight began between Balaram and the Rakshasa. So Balaram fought him, but the more he fought him, the stronger and stronger the Rakshasa became. And he became bigger and bigger and stronger and more powerful. And then Balaram fought him even more powerfully and more powerfully. But the more he fought him, then the bigger he became. And Balaram was becoming exhausted. Not that Balaram becomes exhausted because he is the Supreme Lord, but this is some lila is taking place. So then at the end of 2 hours, and the Rakshasa disappeared, and Balaram was exhausted, Krishna woke up, and Balaram fell asleep, and then Krishna stood up. And Satyaki and Balaram were resting. And then the Rakshasa, he appeared again. And he said, "I will eat you, and then I will eat your friends." And Krishna just laughed. He said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am the most powerful Rakshasa, and I will devour you and your friends." And Krishna just laughed. And he said, "You will not devour anything." And he said, "Who are you?" And I don't like that. And he said, I am the most powerful Rakshasa. I will eat you. I will destroy your friends." Like that. And Krishna just laughed and laughed and laughed. And the Rakshasa, the more Krishna laughed, and the more Krishna was in a very light-hearted kind of a mood with him, the Rakshasa became smaller and smaller and smaller. Right? And then Krishna just laughed and laughed, and he said, "You will not do anything." He said, "You are just a pipsqueak. You're just a little nothing." So Rakshasa became very, very, very small like this, and then Krishna picked him up and tied him up in his dhoti, in the corner of his dhoti, just tied him up in a little corner, just like that. So then the next morning, after 2 hours, then Balaram and Satyaki woke up. And Satyaki and Balaram said to Krishna, he said, "Did the Rakshasa come back?" And Krishna said, "Yes, he came back." And Satyaki said, "I fought with him for 2 hours. And the more I fought with him, the more powerful he became." And then Balaram said, "Yes, I also fought with him for 2 hours. And the more I fought with him, the more powerful he became. I was unable to defeat him." And Satyaki said, "I was also unable to defeat him." And they said to Krishna, "Did he come? Did he disturb you?" And Krishna says, "Do you mean this guy?" Untied his dhoti and said, "Do you mean this guy?" His little direction. He said, "Yes, that's him." He said, "How did you defeat him?" And Krishna says, "Do you know who he is?" Who was he? He was Krodha, anger. The more you become angry when someone is angry, then the more anger increases. And Prabhupada explains, it's like throwing fuel onto the fire. Right? Someone becomes angry, and then you become angry and responsive, and then what happens? Right? It's like throwing fuel, like ghee, onto the fire, and everything becomes more and more and more powerful. So then Krishna taught us how to deal with anger. Prabhupada says, you use it in Krishna's service, or as Krishna pointed out, right? Do not respond to anger with anger. And then anger will decrease in size. Instead of becoming greater and stronger, more powerful and more difficult to deal with, it becomes less and less and less. So this is how to control anger, which is one of the six urges, which is Rupa Goswami speaking of. Then the last three urges, Vacha Vegan, Manasa, Krodha Vegan, Jiva Vegan, Udaro Pasta Vegan. The three are related. Jiva means the tongue. Udara means the belly. Upasta means the genitals. So Prabhupada points out to us that these are in a straight line. Tongue, belly, genitals. They are connected. If one becomes disturbed, the others become disturbed. That is the nature. So, Srila Prabhupada, he points out to us that the Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out every morning we sing before we take prasad, Sharira Abhijajal. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out to us, the tongue is the most voracious of the senses. The tongue is most difficult to control. But, if you control the urge of the tongue, if you can control the tongue in terms of its desire to taste palatable dishes, then it is pointed out that you will control the other urges. If you can conquer this urge, the other urges will become controlled. One who cannot control the tongue, he cannot control the mind, he cannot control the speech, he can't control anger, he cannot control the belly, and he cannot control the genitals. So it is the most difficult to control. But Prabhupada says that for a devotee it is actually very easy. How do we control the tongue? We take only Krishna prasad, that food which is offered to Krishna. That is control of the tongue. Prabhupada says for the first 6 months when you join ISKCON, he said you can eat so much prasad that you waddle like a duck. You've had so much prasad, it's hard for you to even get down the stairs afterwards. Prabhupada said, fully satisfy your senses with Krishna's prasad. This is how to purify the tongue. And then gradually, by only taking Krishna prasad, but as much as you like in the beginning of your devotional service, gradually you will become purified and then you will gain control of your sense of tongue. And then, it is not that after 6 years or 20 years or 30 years that you can still waddle like a duck. Prabhupada said, first 6 months. After that, you have to learn to control the tongue. I remember one year, a long time ago, it might have been 1990, I think. I think it was just after I joined. Then we had Lord Nityananda's appearance day, and Radhacharan Prabhu, he cooked the feast. So myself and Atul Krishna Prabhu and Bhakta Peter and Radhacharan Prabhu, then we served out the feast to all the devotees upstairs in the prasadam hall. And then after everyone was finished, then we sat down and we took prasadam. And it was a fantastic feast, one of the best feasts I can remember. And then we ate so much that we could not even stand up when we were finished. We just had to lie down. Like that, on the spot. We just lie down on prasadam, we're just lying on our left side, and everyone was just laughing, and we're just looking at each other. And then, I ate so much that I could not even get up. So for 45 minutes I just laid there, and the devotees came up, they took out all the buckets, they swept it, mopped it, the whole prasadam hall. And we were just sitting there, we were just watching them, and we were just laughing, and just talking, just the four of us, like that. So Prabhupada says that in the beginning you can do like this. This will purify your sense. Yeah. On feast days, on festive days, on the appearance days of the acharyas or of the guru or of the Lord, on the appearance days, then you can take prasadam up to your neck. Lord Chaitanya would serve out his followers, serve them prasad with his own hand. Lord Chaitanya was 7 foot tall. So that means his hand was 12 inches long. And he would serve with his own hand, he would put the prasadam on all the devotees' plates. And it's said that the Lord Chaitanya would give each man enough for 7 men on their plate. Lord Chaitanya would put with his own hand. So what would you do if Lord Chaitanya gave you enough for 7 men on your plate? Personally, the prasadam is coming from the hand of Lord Chaitanya. What would you do? You're going to eat all of it. So on the feast days, then Lord Chaitanya says you can eat up to the neck. This is the mood of the Sankirtan movement. Dancing, chanting, and feasting. Prabhupada says in the songbook of the Vaishnavacharyas, just by dancing, chanting, and feasting, you can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. That is how powerful the Sankirtan process is. But Rupa Goswami says, not every day. Jiva vegan. You have to learn to control that urge. Prabhupada said, once a week you can have a feast. That's why Prabhupada invented the Sunday feast. So the public can come and take prasadam, have kirtan, hear the lecture, take prasadam, and devotees can also have the feast once a month. Like that. Once a week. Like that. So Prabhupada said, once a week you have a feast. For the rest of the time, you have to control your tongue. You have to eat simply. Not that you eat sumptuous food all the time. But you eat simply. But then once a week you can have a feast. Just like my spiritual master, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said that in the early days of ISKCON, like 1969, they used to have the Sunday feast, and they used to make samosas. And then after the feast, he said he would go around, because they would serve all the feast out, and the guests would, they put maybe 2 samosas on everyone's plate. Some guests would only eat 1 samosa and leave the other one. And then they would put them in the bin around the back of the temple when everyone left. So he said he would go to the bin and he would pick out all the samosas that were left over. And then he would put them in the drawer of his office, of his desk, and he said then he would eat them for the rest of the week. Because this is Mahaprasad. This is the food which has been offered to Krishna. And he said every Sunday for the feast, he said he would eat, he said on one lecture, he said 30 samosas. I don't know if that's physically possible or not, but he said he would eat 30 samosas. And then he said during the week, then he would eat another 30 during the week. And he said, now I am a guru and a GBC. This is the potency of Krishna's prasadam. But then Prabhupada came to San Francisco not long after that, and when he heard that the devotees were taking the samosas out of the bin which had been on the non-devotees' plates, Prabhupada said, do not do that. He said, stop doing that. He said, because that is not proper. He said that because even though you'll get purified by the prasadam, but because it is the remnants of non-devotees, then you'll also get contaminated simultaneously. So Prabhupada said, do not do it. Plus, it's not very good with our relationship with the health department if all the devotees go and start taking that. So not that we do like that. But the principle is that if we take the prasadam, it will purify the consciousness and the tongue eventually will become controlled. And this is the system. Eat simply, but then once a week you can feast, you can satisfy. So Rupa Goswami says this is how bhajan begins. If you want to be successful in your bhajan, if you want to be successful in your practice of sadhana, then you must implement the practices of the first 3 verses of the Upadeshamrita. First of all, you must control the vegans, the 6 urges. If you cannot control those 6 urges, you cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. You will not go to the higher levels. So this is what Krishna is speaking here in the Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava. He's saying the same thing. He's saying control your tongue. These are beginning principles. These are preliminary or primary principles in devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis have extracted these teachings of the Bhagavatam. They've put them in their writings in a very simple way for all of us to understand. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
The books that Rupa Goswami wrote after speaking earlier, we talked about Chaitanya advised him to write his books. Is there a place where, like, Srila Prabhupada studied a lot of these writings and the Upanishads and that? Is there a place like in Vrindavan where these actual books are kept?
The originals?
Yes.
I'm not sure about the originals. I mean, there are some original writings of the Goswamis. Some are still around. In Vrindavan, just next to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, in Vrindavan there is a place called the... what's it called? Something Studies. There's an institute just next to our temple. It's only about a couple of hundred metres down the road from the temple going towards Lok Bazaar on the left. I just can't remember what it's called. Vedic Studies. I can't remember the exact name. Yeah, I know in that particular place there are some of the original writings of the Goswamis. The Goswamis are writing on with some of their writings are on leaves, actually on palm leaves and so forth. So some of the original things are actually there. Also, when I went to Jagannath Puri a few years ago, then we went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and the pujari, he showed us some, he said these were actually handwritten pieces by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya himself. And they were on, it was like a dried, well, I think it was actually like a dried piece of wood, like a piece of wood, which probably from like banana tree or something, and he'd written like etched into it, like an etching into it, and then that was obviously touched with ink so you can see it. And it was like, you know, when you get, like, if you go to a painting place, if you choose a paint, they give you like a colour swatch thing. They kind of like all the leaves, like all the cards are connected. There's like a piece of wire going through a hole in the end, so you kind of like fan them out like that. So that was like, I saw that, that was an original from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So some of them are existing. And Hari Sori Prabhu has begun a library in Calcutta recently, which is an instruction Prabhupada gave many years ago. And they're keeping in that library, they're keeping as many as they can of the works of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vaishnava literatures. And in that particular library, they also have some original works by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and like that. So there are places around. If you went to that place in Calcutta, they could tell you where to find the original works. Any other question or comment?
At the beginning of the class, you were talking about how we're always wanting to satisfy the body and the senses first. And then think about the devotees later. So how can you change your consciousness, or how can you train yourself to think of serving the devotees first, and doing service of pleasing Krishna and the spiritual master first, instead of your own body, mind and senses?
How to train yourself to do that? Then just do it on a practical level. Just like when you go out for breakfast, prasadam, then take all the buckets up. Instead of waiting for someone else to do it, then you take it up. And then instead of just sitting down and waiting for everyone to serve you, then you go and serve the other devotees. So just to do it practically. Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur used to instruct the devotees in the Gaudiya Math. He said they should do 5 menial services for the other devotees every day. Like that. So I remember when I was a brahmachari, when I was living in the ashram, then between Mangalati and the end of class, and I'd try to do 5 services for the devotees. So then after Mangalati is finished, you can go and get the mats when everyone's offering their obeisances, and put the mats for the devotees, and then you can serve Charanamrita, and then maybe after, oh yeah, like when the aarti is being performed for Tulsi or for the deities, then you take the lamp and then you can take it around for all the devotees like that. So I remember by the end of the morning program, you know, between 4:30 and 8:30, you know, we were able to do 5 services for the devotees like that, and then you can do more during the day. Well, that's not like, you know, okay, I've done my quota now. The principle is that if we do service for the devotees, then we develop a service attitude. That's the principle. It's not that Krishna's not counting, oh, okay, he did 5 menial services today, or he did 18 menial services. No, no. The principle is that in your consciousness, you should always be looking for the opportunity. That's the consciousness of a Vaishnava. The consciousness of the Vaishnava is always look for opportunity to do service for others, for devotees, naturally. It's not that, no, I have to do it, or I have to do 5. No, we do these things. Like we say, okay, I'll do 5 a day, because that trains us to get into the correct consciousness. Like that. It's like we chant 16 rounds a day. Why do we chant 16 rounds a day? Because it gets us in the consciousness of Kirtaniyaha Sadahari, always chanting. Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? So devotees should be feeling, yes, I want to do more. I want to do more service for the devotees. So if you want to learn that service attitude, then start doing service. Be practical like that. Just like one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, I don't feel like offering obeisances to you. I don't feel like it in my heart. I don't feel like offering obeisances. But Prabhupada said, no, you should do it anyway. Then the feeling will come. That is sadhana. Sadhana means you practice and then the feeling will come. Is that okay? Any other question? Comment? Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.